Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini, and you're at the right place for the most practical, realistic, current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, and during this hour, we're going to talk about painting aluminum siding. That's something that I've done quite a bit over the years. It can be very successful. Joe, it's like everything else. It's all about the prep, and you got to make sure you use the right type of paint.
Yeah, the prep, right? Anytime we talk about painting, Danny, right, we always talk about the importance of prep, and it's not more important than when you're painting something outdoors, especially aluminum siding. And aluminum siding has a tendency to fade and get old looking, even though it's probably in perfectly good shape. So yeah, there are a couple of tips to get that aluminum siding looking as good as new.
Hey, also, we're going to share with you a very easy way to clean your dryer vent, something that you just don't think about. But boy, once you clean it one time, you realize there's a lot going on there. Also, our Cool Tools sweepstakes from our friends at Woodcraft is back. We'll tell you how you can get involved in that. And also, we can't emphasize enough how important it is to have that air conditioner serviced. One of the things, Joe, we talk a lot about is how that evaporative line will get clogged up. And I'm telling you, if you have your air conditioner in the attic, and you have the drain pan under it, you're going to want to really be tuned in on the the maintenance there, because I have heard some real horror stories about that, including one we're going to hear today from one of our homeowners.
Yeah, I mean, when that pan overflows, guess what? You know, you're going to find out sooner or later that it's overflowing, and it's going to soak through the insulation and the ceiling and down into walls, depending on where it's located in your attic, typically. So yeah, I mean, it's important to keep that operating. If it means having a pro come in once a year, then that's what you need to do, you know, because you don't want to take a chance of that thing overflowing. Because although the air conditioner might be a quick fix, I mean, what do you now do with all that water-soaked drywall?
Right. That's the biggest problem, and that's where it really can cause a lot of problems. Hardwood floors, everything. But stay tuned. We've got some easy tips to explain to you exactly what you need to do so that you can check it out and make sure you don't have a problem that's looming overhead. Joe, what about a simple solution in a little bit?
All right, well, I've been using a lot of sawhorses lately, and not always just for cutting lumber. And I discovered if you're putting something on a sawhorse as a finished surface, like maybe a door or a cabinet or something that's been painted or has varnish coat, you can get it scratched up pretty easily. So I've got a tip on how to soften the sawhorses just a little bit so you can put finished pieces on it without getting it all marred up.
That's perfect. Hey, we want to encourage you to get in touch with us here. You can pick up the phone, 800-946-4420. That's the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Also, love to get those emails. Got a lot of great emails this week. We appreciate those. And you can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. One of the things we've been hearing a lot about, Joe, of course, is the high lumber prices.
Yes.
Started doing a lot of reading here and there, and there's plenty of things out there to read as to why this has happened, where it's going. But the good news I'm hearing right now, the prices are dropping almost every day, and they expect, there's some experts are saying, in about 90 days, maybe 120 days, you're going to see a significant drop in the cost of the materials, because they all got behind, the mills got behind, they've been working hard, people have started putting off a few projects, that's given them an opportunity to catch up even more. So boy, we're going to keep tracking this and see when we would recommend you start moving forward with some of those more lumber intensive projects. I have a friend right now that called me just a few days ago and said, man, we're building our dream house. What should we do?
Keep dreaming.
I said, well, I would go ahead and get your plans tied down. I would make yourself pick out every single thing that you genuinely want in the house.
Right.
Do the research on it. Have everything locked and loaded and ready. But I would wait a few months and give it about 3 or 4 months and see if those prices don't go down. And you may see that you can maybe even do it in stages where you can move forward, maybe with that foundation, and then keep tracking it. But like I said before, I think good old American competition is going to right this situation pretty quick.
Yeah, it's basically a supply and demand situation where, you know, there was a huge demand, but there wasn't as much lumber as there ordinarily was. And a lot of that demand came from people being at home, do-it-yourselfers being at home, looking around, thinking, well, I'm home most of the day, most days. I think I'm going to start working on a project. And when you get, you know, hundreds of millions of people doing that, suddenly there's not enough lumber. And then, of course, the mills couldn't produce enough because of COVID. They didn't have workers there. And one really good indication of the volatility of lumber prices is I got an invoice recently for an order of lumber that I had delivered. And at the top of the invoice, they said, these prices are good for 5 days. It used to be 30 days.
Wow.
5 days. They could only guarantee the price for 5 days.
My goodness.
Because they couldn't take the chance of waiting 30 days. Because if I waited 30 days and ordered lumber, at that point, they couldn't honor that price because maybe the lumber would have gone up. So I think that's going to change. I'm going to be ordering more lumber soon. It'll be interesting to see if that has changed back to the 30 days. But yeah, I think the prices are dropping every day. So I think you're right. If you can hold off and wait, that'd be your best option.
I'll tell you something else that's happening is the news organizations are really looking closely at who's making this money? Where's all this money going to?
Yeah, right.
It's a very interesting thing. Of course, you know, a lot of the conspiracy theories will start, you know, popping up. But, you know, I talked to a friend of mine that has a lot of family land, and they monitor the lumber, tree prices, you know, very closely to where when they get to a certain point, they'll, you know, sell off 50 or 60 acres in order to, you know, get the highest price they can. And they're completely puzzled because the price of that timber is the same now as it was 2 years ago.
Yes.
So, okay, well, that part of the food chain is not reaping the benefits of all of these extra prices. So you go up to the next level, the next layer. Anyway, we won't get into that, but let me tell you, you will hear a lot about it from the news organizations any minute now as to, you know, what do they say? You know, following the money. They're going to follow the money.
Follow the money. One thing we can tell you, it seems obvious, and I think people are blaming the lumber yards and the home centers and the retailers. They're making the same profit. If they made a dollar on a 2x4 a year ago, they're making a dollar on a 2x4 today, even though they might be charging you $10 instead of $3. So it's not don't blame the retailers. They're not the ones making the money.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, don't complain about that. Hey, let's switch gears a little bit. And one thing you definitely would want to do if you're sitting there looking out that window and you're saying, oh, I need to really mow that grass, take just a little bit of time to work on that lawnmower. It's well worth it to, you know, put fresh gas in it, to clean that air filter really well and replace it if it just looks really bad. Change a spark plug. When's the last time you changed your spark plug? That's something that's easy to forget.
Some people have never changed it.
Yeah, or never have changed it. Right. I thought that was a permanent one now. And and it seems like such a task to sharpen a lawnmower blade. It's really not. And I'll tell you what I started doing years ago is I just have an extra one. I take that blade, put it in my vise, really, you know, get that thing nice and sharp. And then I just take the other one off and put that on. That's a lot easier than, you know, taking it off, you know, and everything. And then you're ready to mow. Your grass is going to get cut cleaner. It's going to be healthier. It's going to make that lawnmower last a lot more. And of course, I forgot one important step is to change that oil and dispose of that oil properly. Don't just dump it out in the neighbor's yard there.
Especially if you live next door to Danny.
Don't be dumping it over my fence. So that's a very important thing. But Joe, even though the strong trend away from gas-powered engines, you know, and people going to cordless, there's still a lot of gas-powered things out there with leaf blowers and string trimmers and things like that. They also need a little love.
They do. And the thing that I've discovered that works great at the end of the season, whether it's my snow blower or it's my lawnmower, is I just run it until it runs out of gas. This way you're sure all the gas is out of the lines, out of the carburetor, and completely clean. Just, you know, try not to, you know, just put in a little bit of gas in your last time you mow your lawn or use your string trimmer, and then just let it run out of gas. And then you can put in, rather than putting in, you know, any kind of fuel stabilizer, which does work, but you still have the old fuel in there. And if you get that carburetor gummed up with old fuel, then it's almost impossible to get it started. You have to take it to a mechanic. So that's the most important thing, I think, is just let it run completely out of gas, and then you know you'll be set for the next season. And the blades and also the filters, both fuel filters and air filters, you should clean them or replace them as recommended by the manufacturer.
Well, you know, another thing that I've started using that I think is great, you know, the pre-mix, when you have pre-mix for a lot of the leaf blowers and chainsaws and things like that, I started buying the pre-mix from the store. It's a little more expensive. You buy it in a quart, but it has no ethanol in it and is a lot purer. And you know what? When it's all said and done, you really don't use a lot of that. I mean, you know, I mean, you know, if you're a lumberjack out there, yes, you're going to use a lot of stuff on your chainsaw. But for the most part, you know, with your chainsaw and string trimmer, you're not using much. This is a pure fuel for that. It helps to keep all of that sediment out of there. And again, it's all about it working efficiently and lasting a long, long time. That's what the smart homeowner, that's what the today's homeowner does, is to try to really make sure any of that equipment that you have will last a long, long time. Hey, we're just getting started here on Today's Homeowner. So glad that you're with us on a busy weekend. And we're going to talk about painting aluminum siding. We're going to talk about another product that you might be very interested in if you haven't cleaned your dryer vent recently. It's easier than you may think. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Summer, it's almost here, but Memorial Day savings are already at the Home Depot. In-store, online, store-wide. Like 5 bags of Garden Fresh mulch for just $10. Save on everything from flower beds to a fresh coat of paint. From power tools to ceiling fans. Ready, set, summer. Memorial Day savings, here now. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Limit 75 bags per customer. Color selection varies by store. While supplies last, Continental US only.
Time for Ask the Bonide Guy. I've got the answers to what's bugging you. Let's go to line 2 and Johnny.
Oh, hey, Bonide Guy. There are so many products out there that claim they can stop insects. So how do I find the best one?
Oh, easy. Get 8. It's better than 7.
8? I just want 1.
8 brand insect control from Bonide. It kills over 100 different insects on contact and keeps on killing and repelling them for up to 30 days.
Thanks, Bonide Guy. Guess you could say 8's got their number.
Oh, you just did. Stop insects this summer with 8 brand insect control from Bonide. Learn more at Bonide.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. And by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. And we are heard coast to coast on some awesome radio stations like this one, KGLN AM 980 in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Hello to everybody in and around the Glenwood Springs area. We appreciate it. We want to hear from you. Pick up the phone, 800-946-4420. If you'd like to send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to Wyoming. John is on the line with a really good question. John, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, I've got my sprinkler system set up on an irrigated, you know how the irrigation water comes? And,
right.
And I got it pumped into my sprinkler system, and then I water my lawn. So that on the certain part of the house, that water hits the aluminum siding, and then it stains it all up, and I got to clean it off and every year, year in and year out. And I just, sometimes I don't even do it.
I got you.
But I was wondering, can you paint that aluminum siding? I've never heard of anybody painting aluminum siding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of people doing it, and I've done it many, many times. And I remember, heck, this probably 15 years ago, we had a aluminum siding house that had the 8-inch wide lap siding, and it was really faded and oxidized. So I did a little bit of research, and first of all, attacked the oxidation by cleaning it well with trisodium phosphate, TSP, and it really came off, and it was just a lot of powder on it. I got that off first. And then I went back with a special formulated paint that's an acrylic latex. Now, it used to, Glidden paint was the only one that had it. Now, I think everybody has the paint designed for aluminum siding. And then I actually rolled and brushed it on, and it came out great. Naturally, a sprayer would pick up the pace a little bit and maybe make it even smoother. But it definitely can work very, very well. But I would also suggest to you, John, maybe have somebody that works with sprinklers all the time, come out with their little bitty tools they have to adjust those heads on that, because they can turn back the water a little bit, they can adjust it to where it hits in the footprint that it needs to and prevents that. Because even if you paint the siding, if that water's hitting it all the time, you're still going to have some signs of that and possibly, you know, it wearing away some of the paint.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right. I adjust all my sprinkler heads. I have adjusted them, but it's still a little bit hit. And I was thinking on painting it the same color as the water color, kind of like getting a little sample, and then because it doesn't look that bad if it all looks the same color on them two walls. But the rest of the house is I like the way it looks, but just the two walls in the backyard.
I got you. Yeah. Well, it definitely can be painted there. And Joe, any other thoughts that you would have on helping John on his paint job there?
Yeah, John, usually when we're talking to someone about painting aluminum siding, they want to paint the whole house, which fortunately you don't need to do. But on the other hand, I think matching what you're not painting will be a little bit of a challenge. But cleaning it really well with TSP, and whenever you clean any surface with TSP that you're going to be painting, especially outdoors, you should also wash it with just plain water afterwards, just in case there's any TSP residue left behind. You don't want that affecting the paint. And then we ordinarily recommend a primer. Now, whether or not you need a primer, I can't tell you over the phone, but ordinarily you would put on a primer and then put on the top coat, just so the top coat sticks as well as it possibly can to aluminum. So you'd have to make that call. But I think, you know, it would certainly solve the problem once you, you know, readjust these sprinkler heads. Because as Danny said, if you're going to keep spraying water on it, you know, you're going to end up with the same issue. If not next year, then soon enough.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So clean it real good. I was thinking power wash it, TSP
yeah,
it.
Yeah, power washing would be great. Yeah, just don't point up. Always, when you're washing siding, make sure you're pointing directly at it or down slightly, because you don't want to blow water up behind the siding, which could possibly happen.
Yeah. And then just prime it first and then paint it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And just get to a good paint store. They've heard this. They've sold a lot of this material for aluminum siding. It's more common than you might think, and I think you'll be very pleased with it. First of all, as soon as you put that first bit of paint on it, you'll realize, wow, the siding does look a little faded, because the brilliance of that new paint, you'll be very, very satisfied with. So best of luck on everything, John. It sounds like we got you pointed in the right direction. Let us know if we can help you any other way.
All righty, thanks a lot. Maybe I'll end up painting the whole house.
Yeah, might as well. But you can do it. You can do it just one side at a time to make it you know, very easy and so forth. So, thanks so much for being a part of the show today. Hey, I want to share with you some lawn tips for summertime, because after a long winter, most of us look forward to the warmth of spring, but eventually that'll turn into heat of the summer. And of course, I kind of like it warmer than I like it cold, but you do have to pay attention to it and do a few things different, not only to protect yourself from the heat, but also to protect your lawn. Heat is one of the biggest stresses for a lawn, so it's important that we do everything we can to reduce that stress. Now, obviously, the first step is watering. When it's hot, you get thirsty, and of course, so does your lawn. If you walk across your grass and it sounds a little crunchy or it stays bent down, then it's in real need of water. However you do that watering, make sure you do it early in the morning to minimize evaporation and stress to the lawn. Now, speaking of walking on the grass, that's another thing that causes it stress, so try to limit foot traffic as much as possible when it's really hot and dry. Your lawn will thank you for it. Now, you might think fertilizing is a good idea during this time of the year, but even though fertilizers feed the lawn, they also promote the new growth, which causes stress. So hold off until the weather cools down a little. Finally, cut the lawn in a way that's the least stress possible. That means you should only remove the top third of the grass blades in any given mowing. Now, besides, taller grass plants develop deeper roots, and it makes it a little more drought tolerant during those hot, dry summer times. Now, this tip brought to you by Exmark, the official mowers of the backyard life. And for more great ideas and inspiration for your outdoors, visit exmark.com/backyard. You know, so that reminds me of something there, Joe, with our house and the path between the house and our boat dock, that originally had plans for some flagstone, and to put the flagstone in to walk on and so forth. And I thought, well, you know what, I can do that if a pattern forms. So I tell Sharon, I said, look, when you go down there, take a different path every time. So you walk over, you go over this way to the right, the jig over here to the left, and then you go down straight, and then you turn. So I think some of my neighbors might be thinking Sharon's, drinking a little wine before she goes down there, because she's winding her way around. So we laugh about it when she and I walk down there and everything. All of a sudden, we'll look at each other. We'll start going this way and going this way. But there's absolutely no wear pattern on my grass, so I'm keeping the stress down during the warmer months.
You'd be wearing out your wife and her shoes, but meanwhile, the lawn looks great.
Well, that's important to do that. It's good, though, during this time of the year. I mean, you know, because you're going to be mowing a lot. You're going to be, you know, blowing those leaves and things. And the last thing you want to do is to go out and have that mower not working like you want it to and having to stop and work on it then. You can do a little work ahead of time. I tell you, I've got one of the electric mowers that I use. I have the ride lawn mower, but those cordless electric mowers are pretty amazing. And I think back, and I was driving down the road the other day, and I saw a house, a pretty small lawn, and I saw the guy out mowing his lawn with one of the old corded lawn mowers, where he actually had the extension cord running out to it. And I almost forgot about those things because, you know, how many times do you cut that line into, you know?
Yeah. Well, you start off with a 50-foot extension cord, then you have a 25-foot extension cord, then you have a 10-foot extension cord. Then it's a cordless mower because you've chewed up the cord. But yeah, they're still popular because they're very powerful. You don't have to mess with batteries or gas. And, you know, if your lawn's small enough and you're careful enough, they're actually pretty efficient. Yeah, they're still making them. I haven't seen many in a while, but yeah, they're still making them.
Yeah, and for small lawns like that, of course, that's not a bad thing. But the cordless are so efficient, and especially if you get the cordless type that the batteries work on several different lawn equipment, that makes it even more feasible. Hey, we're certainly glad you're with us here on today's Homeowner Radio. Coming up, we're going to tell you about a really cool product that can help you have a really clean dryer vent and a whole lot more. Stay with us.
Call today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, North America's leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems. And by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Did you know that there are nearly 17,000 fires every year associated with clothes dryers? Now, these fires cause over $200 million in property losses, not to mention injuries and fatalities. And 34% of the time, the cause is just simply the failure to clean your dryer vents. So to do it and to make it easy, we have the drill-powered duct brush from Everbuilt. Now, you can use it manually or attach it to your drill for more power to remove lint buildup and debris in your dryer vent, as well as other general ducting. It includes a 4-inch diameter brush head and 4 different 2-foot flexible rods that can be used to extend the brush up to 8 feet in length. Because the rods are flexible, you can work through any of the 90-degree turns, so you can clean the duct from either the dryer side or the exhaust outlet outside your home. And to find out more about this product, head over to HomeDepot.com, and that's called the Everbuilt Drill Powered Dryer Vent Cleaning Kit. Very, very important. It's one of those projects that you can put off very, very easy, but once you do it one time, you realize there's a lot going on there. You think that, well, I clean the vent in my dryer every time, so where's this lint coming from? Well, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's there, and it will build up. And you know, so many times, Joe, you'll have that corrugated, or I guess it's called corrugated piping going out, and that really seems to collect that lint more so than a smooth vent that'll allow it to slide right out of there.
Yeah. Well, the reason there's lint in there is because the filter's not 100%. You know, it's not blocking everything. Like any filter, there's always has to be a little bit of not has to be, but a little lint always blows through because the air has to blow through. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a vent at all, wouldn't be a filter at all. It'd just be an obstruction. So, yeah, and this is particularly a problem, by the way, if you have a gas dryer, because gas dryer, of course, is blowing, is heating, is drying the clothes with the flame. So, you know, that's particularly a problem. And I have a brush. I don't know if it's an Everbilt, but I have one of these. And you can go. I have two 90-degree elbows, and I do it from the outside. And this absolutely goes right through them like they weren't even there. And it burnishes the inside of that pipe. It's like that vent. It's almost like brand new. So this is really a super effective way and a pretty easy way to do it as well.
Well, you know, a lot of times architects or draftsmen, the venting of a dryer vent, sometimes an afterthought. I know my house I had originally, you know, for so many years, the dryer was in the center of the home.
Oh.
So the only way to, well, one of the ways to vent it, the most common ways, is go down into the slab and then outside. Hmm. Well, it was a 35-foot run.
Oh, wow. How did any of that lint get out?
It's terrible. Yeah. It was just terrible. I mean, you put as many extensions on one of these dryer brush things as you want. You're not going to clean all that out. And it just got worse and worse to where it would take, you know, it went from 45 minutes to an hour and a half to clean, to dry the clothes. So terrible energy waste. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. So we vented it vertically, and I did a lot of research on that and found that I could put an inline dryer vent, a booster fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
On the inline there, and so that it stays to where as soon as you activate the dryer and it gets that first burst of venting, you know, hot air, it turns on and boosts it.
Right.
Amazing. It went immediately, the very first time I used it, it went back to 45 minutes of drying time.
Wow.
And it's positioned in my attic. So if you're in a situation where you have a vertical pipe that you're venting your dryer vent there, you can easily be able to kind of change that up a little bit and install this. And you can go to todayshomeowner.com and you'll be able to see exactly what we're talking about there. So,
and that booster fan, Danny, was mounted closer to the end of the duct run.
It was about halfway. It was actually halfway because it was going vertically, so right up in the attic I positioned it to where I could, you know, access it if needed, and then it had an additional 8 foot above that to push it out of the vent, and it just worked great. You know, I didn't have any problem with it whatsoever, and it just kept going and going, and was not an expensive thing nor very hard to install in that particular application. Hey, we really appreciate all the emails we got this week and love to hear from you. todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's how Holly sent in one from South Dakota. I have a post and beam front porch that the red-breasted robins love to build nests on. How do I keep them away as they make such a big mess? Thank you so much for your advice. Red-breasted robins, I know that's a very seasonal thing, it seems like, that they come in during certain times of the year. What do you think on...
least here, they do. Here in Connecticut, I see them. I started seeing them in late April to come down from Canada, and they continue through the summer. Well, yeah.
What do you think about a deterrent for them? I've never really thought about that in keeping the, whether it's robins or some other bird, away from the post and beam front porch. What do you think on that, Joe?
Yeah, I typically see swallows make their way up inside the porch. There's usually some little ledge in the corner by the top of a post or piece of trim sticking out where they build little nests. And you'd try to deter them by either using, you can hang these little shiny ribbons, they're like little mylar ribbons, and they reflect light and they blow in the wind, and they, you know, I guess they distract the bird enough that they don't want to nest. But you can also, the most effective way is just put up either bird spikes, which are little, like 3 or 4 inch long metal spikes. They don't harm the birds if they land on them. It's not, they can't settle in, so they fly away. Or just put up some kind of wire netting. It could be hardware cloth, it could be chicken wire, it could be anything, just to block it. And although that might not be particularly attractive, you're just trying to deter them from starting a nest. Once they can't start a nest, they'll find some other more appropriate place. Then if you don't like the look of this netting, this wire netting or the bird spikes, you can take it down. But those are things I would suggest because they don't harm the birds. And once they do, I would recommend once, if they've started a nest and they've laid eggs, you have to just put up with it. I would not disturb them at all. Let them do their thing. They'll be gone as soon as the fledglings are ready to fly. And then, you know, then you can deal with it. But if you can catch them before they nest, then I would try one of these techniques.
Yeah, there you go. Great idea. And I hope that helps you out, Holly. And again, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do it anytime. todayshomeowner.com. todayshomeowner.com/ask. And of course, you can call pick up the phone. You can call us on the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. And you may want to drop by todayshomeowner.com, sign up for our free e-newsletter. It is available right now. Just go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter and join over 135,000 others that receive our email each and every week. Current, fresh information and a few reminders of some of the things you may want to do around your house. Hey, coming up, have you had trouble choosing a paint color for the outside of your home? Well, my daughter Chelsea just went through that. She'll give you a few tips on how she was able to pick the perfect color. All of that and more right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Did you know that you can transform surfaces all around your home with real stone as easily as painting? With Deitch Coatings Decorative Stone Finishes, you can renew your patio, pool deck, garage floor, and even your countertops with lasting beauty and performance. And you do it yourself. Get Deitch Coating products online through the Home Depot and DeitchCoatings.com. Start planning your next project today.
Time for Ask the Bon-Eyed Guy. I've got the answers to what's bugging you. Let's go to line two and Johnny.
Oh, hey, Bon-Eyed Guy. There are so many products out there that claim they can stop insects. So how do I find the best one?
Oh, easy. Get 8. It's better than 7.
8? I just want 1.
8 brand insect control from Bon-Eyed. It kills over 100 different insects on contact and keeps on killing and repelling them for up to 30 days.
Thanks, Bon-Eyed Guy. Guess you could say 8's got their number.
Oh, you just did. Stop insects this summer with 8 brand insect control from Bon-Eyed. Learn more at Bon-Eyed.com.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Hey, I wanted to tell you about this situation here that we have on a great summer sweepstakes. We've teamed up with our friends at Woodcraft, and it's for the Cool Tools sweepstakes going on right now. All you have to do is head over to todayshomeowner.com/cooltools to enter for your chance to win a $1,000 Woodcraft gift card that you can use in-store at many of their stores across the country or online at woodcraft.com. You can enter now through June 27th. That's todayshomeowner.com/cooltools. And as we've talked about before when we've done this partnership with Woodcraft, $1,000 will go a long way, and you'll be amazed at at all of the things that are available, not just those that are really serious into woodworking, but a lot of other types of materials and tools that can help you with just about anything that you do around your home. So you need to check them out at woodcraft.com. And best of luck on your chance to win that $1,000 Woodcraft gift card. Now, we want to shift gears right now and bring in Chelsea Lipford-Wolf with Checking In with Chelsea. And Chelsea, my producer notes here say, how to pick a dang paint color for the outside of your house. Now, that would indicate there's been a little frustration and a little effort there. Matter of fact, riding by your house, I counted 18 different colors there. Is that right?
It was 17. Thank you very much.
Well, how did it work out, and how did your neighbors give you some feedback on it, and are you happy with the color now that it's pretty much complete?
Yes, we took a poll from the neighbors. They all contributed their opinions, and yes, the paint color that we ended up with was great, but it was quite a process to narrow down the paint color. Of course, being in the field, like, I knew exactly what I wanted. I just had trouble finding it, and so I thought, well, hey, there's probably other people who are having trouble picking out a paint color. So I broke down the process that I went through to find a paint color, sample paint colors, and test them out on my house before you pay the big bucks for the 5-gallon buckets of paint.
Right. I know. I'll tell you, people really get intimidated by picking out colors. You know, picking out colors for a room is one thing. If you really don't like it, you can redo it. But boy, if you get out there and the guys are spraying paint on, and after 3 or 4 hours, if you don't like it, then it's a much bigger task. So take us through that process a little bit.
Well, of course, the full video is on checkinwithchelsea.com right now. But there's so many cool apps nowadays. So you can drive by some of your favorite neighborhoods in your part of the country and take a picture of a house that you like. Then you upload that picture into the app and you pinpoint what color on the house that you like. And then they offer you color suggestions based on that color. And then you can go to the store and get a few different samples and a variety of shades around that and test it out on your house. And that's the big thing to pick a paint color is to test it out on your actual house and look at it throughout the day for the different types of lighting scenarios that your house will be seen under.
And also give it a little bit of time, because you hate to just know that the painter's coming tomorrow, and a lot of people do that. You know, well, I know what I want. And then you get out there, get confused, get frustrated, and it's a whole lot better if you can give it a little bit of time,
I would almost recommend you pick out your paint color before you hire the painter. That way you aren't rushed. There isn't a chance of mistakes being made. You have it figured out before they're even on the list to show up.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. And using the apps and being able to, visualize it a little bit there, every one of those little steps will get you more comfort level to do that. And as you said, the video of this whole process is available for you right now at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Well, best of luck on the rest of your day. I know we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Yeah, that is something that people go through. You need to check out that video. That'll help you kind of calm down to be able to go through that process and think about it a little bit. Hey, Joe, I wanted to get to this great email that came in from Angela in Georgia. It says, "Hi, my AC pan ran over, and the ceiling in my bathroom became very wet. The AC team fixed the issue. Now, do I need to have the ceiling inspected for mold? And will there be any need to replace all of the drywall walls or just the ceiling?" What do you think on something like this? Sure, heard this story before.
Yeah, and I don't think she needs to hire a professional to see if there's any issues, but she needs to, assuming she's capable of getting up into the attic, pulling out the insulation and taking a look. And if any insulation is even damp, if it's wet, obviously you have to, but even if it's damp, you have to remove it. Now, sometimes if it's fiberglass, I've actually removed it, put it outside in the sun, and after several days, and I know it's bone dry, I've actually put it back. But if it's compressed or it's damaged at all, it's probably easier just to replace it. But there's no way to inspect the back side or the top side of this drywall ceiling or to see if it's affected the walls without pulling the insulation out of the way so you can see. And if the top of the drywall looks damp and is stained a little bit, leaving that insulation off, maybe putting a fan up there if you need to, but that will usually dry out. As far as whether or not there's any mold or mildew, you'll be able to see it if it's there. And then I would try cleaning it up first with a mold killer remover and without putting the insulation back and then waiting to see. If it continues to grow back, then I would suggest calling in a professional to get it clean, because you don't want that mold in there. And he or she would also be able to tell you if their mold has gotten down into the walls, which I suspect it probably hasn't. Usually the ceiling absorbs most of that water and takes most of the damage.
Yeah, that's always a tough one to decide, when to replace the drywall and when not. Joe, a simple solution's coming up. What do you have for us?
Well, it's about using sawhorses when you're working on something that has a finished surface and you don't want to get it all scratched up.
Yeah, boy, that's disheartening when you do that and you end up having to do another repair from a repair you just did.
Right.
So we want to avoid that situation around your home. So stick around. Simple solution and a whole lot more coming right up here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust TiteBond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, TiteBond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. TiteBond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit TiteBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Home, me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Spring and summer are the perfect times of the year to put a new roof on your home. So why not choose a roof that can last more than 50 years? Metal roofs are strong and durable, even in climate extremes like wildfires and hurricanes. These roofs are low maintenance and energy efficient. Plus, metal roofs come in a variety of styles and colors to fit any home. The Metal Roofing Alliance has created a buyer's guide that walks homeowners step by step through the process of buying a metal roof. You can find the buyer's guide at metalroofing.com.
Summer means longer days and sometimes longer weekends. Make the most of yours with Memorial Day savings now at the Home Depot. In-store, online, store-wide. Get grilling and saving with a 5-burner Next Grill for only $199. Regularly $249. Save on everything from mulch to mowers. Ready, set, summer. Memorial Day savings. Here now, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done while supplies last.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Wizard Screen Solutions. Retractable screens done right.
Hey, we got a lot of emails this week. I wanted to read one more here. Amy from Ohio writes, "We have an unfinished basement that we want to convert into an extra bedroom. My neighbor told me that the building inspector made him add egress windows when they did a similar project. What exactly does that mean?" Well, it's a good question, Amy, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it's a common one, and even though the term egress sounds really technical, the answer is quite simple. If an area is going to be used as a living space, which applies to offices, bedrooms, game rooms, the International Building Codes say that the space must have two forms of egress or escape. One is the stairs that lead down from the main level of the house, and the other could be a door or window that's large enough for you to get out or a firefighter to get in with full gear in the event of an emergency. Because the walls of a basement are below ground level, there has to be a hole or well outside of each window location. And one of the challenges homeowners face is how to surround this window well so the dirt doesn't collapse into it and they can get out if they need to. Well, one of the best solutions I've ever seen is a product called Scapewell from the Bilco company. It's made of high-density polyethylene, so it's easy to install and requires no maintenance at all. What's really cool is that it has a terraced or step design. Makes it real easy to climb out of, but those terraces also could be planted with flowers, shrubs to give the basement something of a view. It really is a neat way to handle this real important situation. Now, if you want to find out more about egress windows or the Scapewell system, check out their website at bilco.com. Joe, you and I both have seen those things. That's a phenomenal solution to that little problem.
And the fact that it's made out of a high density polyethylene, and you know, it's completely indestructible virtually. You know, you don't have to worry about it rusting or rotting. So, yeah, or you don't have to paint it. So, yeah, and egress is really important. If you don't know, you can check with your local building code. Usually it has to be a minimum opening, like windows have to have a minimum opening of about, I think it's 20 inches by 24 inches. And with a net clearing, meaning the opening has to be at least 5.7 square feet in diameter. So the idea is somebody can get through that window, including a
sure.
fireman wearing all his gear.
So again, that's bilco.com. Joe, what about a simple solution? Share one with us.
Okay, Danny, here you go. Sawhorses are great when you're cutting plywood or lumber, but when you're using them to support finished pieces, we're talking about doors, tabletops, that kind of thing, you can very easily scratch up the workpiece. So to prevent this from happening, all you need to do is get a strip of carpet. Cut a remnant piece of carpet about 5 inches wide and a little longer, maybe like 2 or 3 inches longer than the horizontal rail on the sawhorse. Then you set the carpet on top, centered on the rail, and you press down to conform it to the shape of the, it's usually a 2x4 on the top of the sawhorse, press it down, then attach the carpet with a few staples driven through the sides of the rail. That's important. Go on each side. Don't staple at the top, because if the staples work loose, of course, they're going to wind up scratching up your workpiece. And if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions, you can see a video of this simple solution right now.
Yeah, that's something I always can never throw away, that little roll of carpet that was left over. It's amazing how many times you can use that to, you know, protect things. I even have used it for applying stain. And it works better than that homeowner that called the other day and said the wife was using a cat. It looked like a cat, which was just kidding.
Looked like she used a cat to apply it. Yeah, don't use a cat. Yeah.
Hey, that pretty much wraps up this first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, head over to todayshomeowner.com so that you don't miss a thing. We really appreciate you spending this time with us. I'm Danny Lipford, along with Joe Truini. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.